The Musicians of God stained-glass windows of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior are the basis for our current devotional series. We've considered them in chronological order. First, the window portraying King David, who wrote and sang his psalms 1,000 years before our Lord was born. Secondly, the window recognizing the musical contributions of the Church's great reformer, Martin Luther, some 500 years ago. And now we consider the third of the Musicians of God windows, that picturing Dietrich Buxtehude, who made his musical contribution to the Church a little over 100 years after Luther died. As liturgical Christians who love the Psalms of King David and chant them every Sunday, and as Lutherans who love the doctrinal hymns of Martin Luther and sing them so often in our divine services throughout the year, we have a natural and a historical affinity for King David and Dr. Luther. But what's our affinity to Dietrich Buxtehude? Most of us have probably never heard of him before today. Well, my affinity with Buxtehude is a bit different. He and I share a common ethnicity, a Germanic Scandinavian ethnicity. You see, most historians say that Buxtehude was born in the city of Helsingborg, Denmark, now Sweden. Others have him being born in Holstein, Germany, and moving in his childhood to Denmark. Wherever he was born in 1637, he died in 1707 at the age of 70 in Lübeck, Germany, where he had spent most of his adult life. Interestingly, it was a common practice in the 17th century that a man marry the daughter of his predecessor in his occupation. And so when Buxtehude, at the age of 29, accepted the position of organist at St. Marian Kirche in Lübeck, Germany, he would be expected to marry the daughter of his predecessor, which he did. He married Anna Marguerite Tunder, and to their union, 7 daughters would be born, all baptized into Christ, at the church where Buxtehude would serve as organist for the remainder of his life. In his later years, while he was in his mid-60s, Buxtehude was eager to retire. And so talented younger organists from around Europe would come to the famous Marienkirche in Lübeck to be considered as Buxtehude's successor. Among the young men who would come was Georg Friedrich Handel, composer of many well-known musical pieces, including The Messiah and its famous Hallelujah Chorus. He was joined by another young well-known organist named Johann Mattheson. Upon arrival to Lübeck, they met Buxtehude, who wasted no time in telling them that either one of them might be offered the position of organist at the famous Marienkirche, but whichever of them was awarded the position would be required to marry Buxtehude's older daughter. Declining the offer, the two men left the following day. Years later, Johann Sebastian Bach would make the same pilgrimage to Lübeck, walking 280 miles to meet Buxtehude, to participate in his famous Advent evening concerts. Bach, too, was offered the hand of Buxtehude's daughter. He, too, declined and walked the 280 miles back home. And now a segue to a devotional point, a point not based on Buxtehude, but on the two young musicians who left him standing with his eldest daughter unmarried. The two young men, Handel and Mattheson, were friends. But at one point in their friendship, Mattheson had nearly murdered Handel, apparently because of Handel's rather blunt critique of one of Mattheson's compositions. Drawing his sword, thrusting it at Handel's chest, the point of Mattheson's sword hit a large metal button that prevented his sword from penetrating into Handel's flesh. And soon after the incident, they reconciled. They remained close friends for the rest of their lives. Talented men and women can do such cruel things to one another. Anger is the sinful emotional response to what might be a valid criticism, though unkindly made, has led many a man or woman, indeed, all of us, I suppose, we would say at one time or the other, to draw not a literal sword, but the poison-tipped arrow of the tongue, to say and to do things which cut away at and so hurt others, even those who are closest to us, as was the case with Handel and Mattheson. That's so observable, as in these past weeks we have seen anger unleashed throughout our nation, manifesting itself in such unbelievably ugly and destructively uncivil ways. While anger may be justifiable at times, it's not an easily controlled emotion within us sinners. As St. Paul tells the Ephesians, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." And so you see, there is a time for anger, for righteous indignation. Otherwise, Paul would not have said, "Be angry." But the apostle is also well aware of how easily even the sinner's righteous anger can become the anvil on which Satan pounds away at us, forging the destructive words and deeds by which he would, through us, wreak havoc in our communities and neighborhoods and in our homes, as has been so painfully evident in so many cities and neighborhoods and homes of our country in these past weeks. Don't let the sun go down on anger, even righteous anger, because if you do, it will more often than not fester into a feverish revenge which won't burn off until it's satisfied. That's not God's way. That wasn't the way of our Lord Jesus, the eternal and the incarnate Son of our Heavenly Father, of whom the psalmist said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." The steadfast love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by becoming our sin for us upon the cross, suffered its eternal consequences for us, so that we need never know anything but his steadfast love toward us. So also ought we to show such love toward one another. And so it is that James, the brother of our Lord, writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness which God desires. Only our Lord Jesus Christ produces that righteousness," a word that's very much needed in our day. In his name, amen.